We're about to move to a wetter pattern. We have a level one risk for parts of the viewing area today, Saturday, and even Sunday. I'll walk you through the timeline for rain this weekend.
Plus, it's an honor that's long overdue and some thought they'd never witness. How more than 50 Marines are finally receiving the recognition they deserve.
Also, another reason to get the new COVID booster, the warning from health experts about the new strain of the coronavirus.
Severe storms are possible for the next 3 days. Today, we have level one risk for severe storms and near record heat. What a Friday. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Renee Chu.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. Thanks for joining us. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WREL Severe Weather Center with a look at how to navigate the weekend. Elizabeth.
Let's start with today. And of course, we do have a level one risk for severe storms, mostly for our northern counties. But that does include Durham County and Orange County as well. It doesn't mean that we won't see storms in other places. This band of thunderstorms that comes through tonight is likely to move across most of the viewing area. For tomorrow, our best chance is going to be from the Triangle area west. That's where we could see some isolated wind damage. None of these days are going to bring us a lot of severe weather potential. Sunday, it's for the entire viewing area. But let's take a look at this evening. Watch up north near the Virginia line. This is all going to be fairly late. So around 7 o'clock, we start to see the storms coming across the border from Virginia. Around 9 o'clock, they've made it as far south as Raleigh. Around 11 o'clock, down to Southern Pines and Fayetteville. And then starting to move out of the viewing area by, say, 1 or 2 a.m. So it's going to be an evening event for us. Saturday, we'll see lots of sunshine. It's going to be another really hot day. And then some scattered storms developing in the north and western part of the viewing area. This run of the computer model is a little lighter with the coverage of storms than the last run, but still we have a good chance of seeing at least a few storms. Here's a look at Lake Gaston. A lot of folks going to be out on the lake today, tomorrow, because it's so hot out there. 87 our temperature right now. 72 is the dew point, so it feels very sticky. And of course, we're not looking at any storms today until maybe around 6 or 7 at Lake Gaston. Climbing up into the mid to upper 90s for this afternoon. And look at this. It's still 90 degrees at 8 o'clock, and then we'll begin to see some of the thunderstorms developing. Our heat index, 101 by 2 o'clock, and it's still 101 at 7 o'clock. So it's going to feel hot for a good long time. New information on Tropical Storm Franklin. It's actually decreased in intensity from 60 to 50 miles per hour as of the 11 a.m. advisory. But other than that, it's still likely to strengthen into a hurricane by Sunday morning, and then a Category 2 storm sitting off the coast of North Carolina early next week with rip current danger and the potential for some damaging surf on the coast, especially along the Outer Banks. Watching this one, still a 70% chance that this develops and moves up toward Florida. We take a look at that. This is likely to begin to develop by, say, early next week. That's Franklin moving off the coast early in the week. And then here comes this storm potentially moving past Florida and off the coast of North Carolina by the middle of next week. We're going to talk more about some scenarios for that one coming up.
All right, thanks, Elizabeth. And you can plan ahead for severe weather with the WREL Weather app. It allows you to watch radar in real time to see when storms are in your area. Be sure you have the WREL Weather app installed on your phone. You can turn on alerts to get notified about severe weather in your location. It is free wherever you download your apps.
I'm Brian Schrader. Breaking at noon here in the WREL Live Center, a man charged in a Raleigh crash that killed twin sisters pleaded guilty this morning in Raleigh. 23-year-old Griffin Curtis pleaded guilty to six charges, including two counts of felony death by vehicle and DWI. It happened in January of 2022 on Avon Ferry Road near Gorman Street. Police say that Curtis was driving while impaired, crossed the center line, and struck a car head-on. In that car, 25-year-old twin sisters Kayla and Morgan Kushner were killed. Three others had serious injuries in this crash. WREL's Shelley Jackson was in the Raleigh courtroom this morning. Look for her coverage beginning today at 4 here on WREL News.
Brian, thanks. Today, 55 of the first Black Marines in U.S. history received the Congressional Gold Medal for their service. The Montford Point Marines integrated the Marine Corps at their base in Jacksonville, North Carolina, in the 1940s. WRL's Keenan Willard shows us the challenges they overcame to serve.
At this morning's ceremony, family members of newly identified Montford Point Marines and one surviving service member received the nation's highest civilian honor. The Montford Point Marines served from 1942 to 1949, integrating the Marine Corps during World War II after an executive order from FDR. Around 20,000 men served at Montford Point, a base for Black soldiers that was segregated from Camp Lejeune. Experts say during their service, Montford Marines faced racism and oppression from the Jacksonville community. They overcame, though, and built their own barracks and training facilities. In 2012, the first group of Montford Marines received the Congressional Gold Medal. Today, 54 deceased soldiers' family members and one living service member got their medals. That living Marine tells me this honor is something he never could have imagined while serving.
I mean, a whole lot. Something I never would have that would happen, but it did.
Experts say up to this point, around 3,000 Congressional Gold Medals have been given out to the family members of Montford Point Marines. More than 16,000 still need to be awarded. Keenan Willard, WRL News, Jacksonville.
I have a dream that one day,
yes,
this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed.
Hundreds of thousands of people will be on the National Mall this weekend in Washington, D.C. to mark the 60th anniversary of the March on Washington. The highlight of that day in 1963 was Dr. Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech. It's listed among the greatest speeches ever delivered by an American and most notable ever delivered by a non-president. While the March on Washington was a major success, civil rights activists say the work is not over. The theme for tomorrow's event is called Not a Commemoration, a Continuation. Cary's mayor is condemning an act of vandalism involving a campaign sign for a candidate for town council. This is the picture for Sarika Bansal's sign near the Highcroft subdivision. Someone placed a photo of a black boy over her face. Cary Mayor Harold Weinbrecht released a statement just before our newscast that reads in part, "This racist, despicable act stands in stark opposition to the values we hold dear in Cary and will only serve to bring our community closer." The mayor goes on to say that the town will do everything they can to get to the bottom of the act.
New COVID-19 vaccines could be available in mid-September. The FDA is expected to give its nod to the updated vaccines in a few weeks. Then a CDC advisory committee will make their recommendation. And this update comes as health officials warn that the new BA286 variant requires intense monitoring and vigilance that many of its predecessors did not. And that's because it has even greater potential to escape the antibodies that protect people from getting sick, even if you've recently been infected or vaccinated. And nearly 400 people are still unaccounted for after this month's wildfires in Maui. Although it's a dramatic decrease from the more than 1,000 previously believed missing, it still underscores the impact. The FBI is using cell phone data to try and pinpoint where victims may have been when the fire tore through the island. Search crews and cadaver dogs have searched 100% of single-story homes in the disaster area. They're now going through most multi-story homes and commercial properties.
And back here in the WRL Live Center, we're tracking Wall Street's reaction to Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell's comments this morning that inflation is still too high and further interest rates may be necessary to bring it down. He said that during comments this morning in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. 2% inflation, he said, remains the goal for the Federal Reserve. And he said that some economic pain is likely as they continue to keep interest rates high in order to bring those prices down. You can see that red line there between about 10:30 and 11 o'clock when the Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped on those comments. But it has recovered a little ground since then, up about 102 points in trading.
Brian, thanks. The so-called BTK murderer is back in the headlines. Convicted serial killer Dennis Rader is already behind bars for the rest of his life. Now officials in Oklahoma say they have linked him to even more murders. NBC's Jesse Kirsch explains how Rader might have tipped his hand.
He slayed 10 people, styling himself the bind, torture, kill murderer.
I have many, what I call them, projects.
And this morning, authorities believe 78-year-old Dennis Rader, the infamous BTK serial killer, may be responsible for even more deaths. Searching his one-time property near Wichita, Kansas, and digging up new evidence, including these pantyhose.
I absolutely believe they were probably on a victim, and he took them after he killed them. He took them, and he kept them as a reminder.
Oklahoma's Osage County Sheriff's Office says Rader is the prime suspect in multiple unsolved murders and missing persons cases, including the 1976 disappearance of Cynthia Dawn Kinney. The 16-year-old was last seen at a laundromat in Pawhuska, Oklahoma. Sheriff Eddie Verdin also suspects in 1990, Raider may have killed 22-year-old Shauna Beth Garber, her brother by phone, telling NBC he does not think Raider was responsible. But Garber's body was found in Missouri in an area where Raider's own daughter remembers fishing with her father.
He's a narcissist. Yes, he's a pathological liar and a sexual sadistic psychopath. You have to be very careful with him.
Raider killed in and around Wichita from the 1970s to the 1990s. Then in 2005, he was caught and eventually pleaded guilty to 10 murders. The case has repeatedly been the subject of documentaries.
Just look like a normal guy.
Including a show Sheriff Verdin happened to see, prompting him to visit Raider in prison. That's when the sheriff says unexpectedly, BTK may have tipped his hand on Kinney, last seen at a laundromat.
He said, well, you know, there was my favorite fantasy. Would you want to hear what it was? And I said, sure, why not? And he looked me in the eye and he said, I always wanted to kidnap a girl from a laundromat.
How many more victims do you think the BTK killer had?
I can't say for sure, but I can tell you the investigation needs to continue.
That is just so disturbing. At least 75 law enforcement officers are on leave after a 6.5 standoff and shootout near Pittsburgh. The intense situation began Wednesday when deputies tried to serve a man with an eviction notice. The man fired several shots at authorities, even shooting drones out of the sky. He was later found dead at the scene. Pulling officers from duty after such an intense situation is standard policy. Each deputy will go through a psych evaluation next week before being clear to return to work.
We are in the final days of this year's Clear the Shelters event. Each day, we're featuring a local shelter to help pets find their forever homes. And WRL's Grace Holland will be at the Cumberland County Animal Services today, meeting firsthand some of the many pets up for adoption.
And that's not all. Cumberland County has waived all adoption fees for tomorrow. And they aren't the only ones. That's because Saturday, August 26th, is our annual day of event. Tomorrow, the seven shelters you see on your screen are offering specials and waiving fees to adopt your next furry friend. You can find all the information you need on adoptable pets online at WRL.com/shelters. And tune in tomorrow when our own Kat Campbell and Chris Lovingood will be taking you inside to help us all clear the shelters. Next at noon, gymnast Simone Biles back on the competition floor today with a chance to do what no man or woman has done before. The new title she could earn at the Xfinity U.S. Gymnastics Championships.
Also, a climate change crisis. Emperor penguin chicks are dying in Antarctica. What researchers are saying about the heartbreaking deaths.
Plus, a film studio in Jacksonville, Florida that made films for black audiences 100 years ago. We're taking you inside Norman Studios next.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Simone Biles will be back in action today as the senior women take the floor at the Xfinity U.S. Gymnastics Championships. It's the most decorated lineup of competitors ever as the women vie for positions on the Paris Olympics gymnastics team. Emily Aketa reports Biles has the chance to become the only gymnast, man or woman, to win 8 U.S. all-around titles.
It's the next step in her historic comeback. Simone Biles set to take the floor in the U.S. Gymnastics Championships later today. Fresh off her all-around win 2 weeks ago at the Core Hydration Classic, Biles is reminding people why she's the most decorated gymnast ever.
It felt really good.
But Biles isn't the only star at this year's championship. All-around 2020 Olympic champion Suni Lee, as well as Olympic teammate and silver medalist Jordan Chiles, are just part of this powerhouse field. Competition is fierce to qualify for an elusive and exclusive spot on the 2024 Olympic team.
This competition will allow all athletes that compete a chance to make national team. And what that does is it qualifies them to go ahead and compete and try out for Worlds come this fall.
But aside from all the athletic star power that will be on display in San Jose, this competition offers an opportunity to shine a positive light on a sport that has been riddled in scandal in recent years.
We have been failed, and we deserve answers.
Speaking on Capitol Hill in 2021, Biles slammed the, quote, entire system for enabling sexual abuse.
while acknowledging what has happened in the past, we can still continue to move forward and be strong.
In the Tokyo Olympic Games, Biles stunned the world, withdrawing from most of her events in 2021.
And wow.
It looked like she got almost lost in the air.
Biles saying the pressure and emotional toll of the Olympics led to a case of the twisties, where gymnasts can get disoriented in the air.
I had no idea where I was in the air. You could literally see it in my eyes in the pictures. Like, I was petrified.
She's since used her platform to highlight the importance of mental health and seems to have her confidence back on the mat. Now, all eyes will be on the 4'11" dynamo, who will try to twist, turn, and explode her way to another championship.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Just awesome to see Simone Biles back in her element. That was Emily Aketa reporting. NBC's Peacock will carry the senior competitions live in the U.S.
The U.S. Department of Justice is suing Elon Musk's space company over claims of hiring discrimination. The lawsuit says between 2018 and 2022, SpaceX discriminated against refugees and people granted asylum in the U.S. The company wrongly claimed that export control laws limited its hiring to U.S. citizens and lawful permanent residents. The DOJ started investigating SpaceX in June of 2020. And speaking of SpaceX, a joint mission with NASA will have to wait a few more hours. A rocket carrying four astronauts to the International Space Station was supposed to launch just before 4 this morning, but it was pushed back because of technical issues. NASA rescheduled the launch for 3:27 tomorrow morning.
A 44-year-old man is in serious condition after a horrifying shark attack in Australia. The man was surfing at Lighthouse Beach when a 13-foot-long great white struck. The predator held the man underwater for about 30 seconds before other surfers could get to him. An eyewitness says the shark tried to attack for a second time as surfers tried to rescue the man.
It's really scary, and it's a really scary sight, and just what was going through my head. Nothing. I just wanted to help this guy because I feel so bad and I can't even imagine the pain and I just don't wish it upon anyone.
Lighthouse Beach will remain closed for at least 24 hours. Meanwhile, a drone will be used to conduct surveillance flights and monitor shark activity in the area.
The climate crisis is impacting emperor penguins and their ability to breed successfully. According to the British Antarctic Survey, there has been rapid sea ice melt between October and December of 2022 at 5 known emperor penguin colonies. The loss of ice creates an unstable environment for breeding, and no chicks survive this breeding season. It's something the researchers have never seen before. Now, if this pattern continues, over 90% of emperor penguin colonies will be extinct by 2100. It's just so sad to see that happening there.
Yeah. Just another example of how what we all do today can have huge impacts years later. Today, though, we could see near record heat. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center with a look at how it's also very humid as well.
Yeah, it's a double whammy, heat and humidity. So that means we'll have a high heat index today, and it may even be higher tomorrow. Let's take a look outside. A pretty view at Fayetteville. We're seeing plenty of sunshine. Some big puffy cumulus clouds hanging out there over downtown. 87 is our temperature around the triangle, and our dew points at 72. So that puts us in the highest level, which is the tropical zone. Feeling like mid-90s or climbing into the mid-90s this afternoon, and it's likely to still be in the 90s up until around 7 or 8 o'clock this evening. Let's take a look at the temperatures and the heat index together. 87 in Durham and Raleigh, and it feels like 93. It's 87 in Fayetteville, feeling like 93. It feels like 95 in Clinton and Goldsboro. It feels like 90 in Southern Pine. So right now it's feeling on average about 5 degrees warmer than it actually is, and that's going to be the trend really through the day. 96 in Raleigh and Durham, 97 in Fayetteville. That's our high temperature for today, and we're looking at that being a few degrees from our record of 99 in Raleigh and from our 100 degree record there in Fayetteville. So we may not quite hit those records, but we're within just a few degrees of it. We take a look at our heat index. Of course, it feels like 90 to 95 right now in the Triangle area. It's likely to feel like 100 or 101 by 2 p.m. and feeling like 102 to 103 through the afternoon, still feeling like 101 as late as 7 p.m. And that could affect the kids out there playing football. Expect temperature close to 95 at 6 p.m. Again, at 8 p.m., we're still looking at an almost triple-digit heat index. But once we get to sunset, we do see the temperatures dropping pretty quickly. We also have the potential for some scattered storms. I think in most cases, the bulk of the games will be over before the thunderstorms begin. We're looking at those storms developing around 10 p.m. or so. So hopefully those storms will not get in the way. Feeling tropical all the way through Monday, so we're not getting rid of this humidity anytime soon. Feeling like 103 for this afternoon, 106 in for tomorrow. So that could bring us a heat advisory. And then Sunday, it feels a little better, looking at 96. I mean, that's still hot, but it's down from the triple digits. We take another look at our severe weather threat. Our northern counties for this evening are in that level one risk. Of course, tomorrow, it's from the Triangle area westward. And Sunday, it covers the entire viewing area. We're looking at just the chance of a few isolated storms that could produce wind damage. Wind damage would be our biggest threat. Here's today, again, around 7 o'clock, some of those storms start to move across the border from Virginia. And around 9 o'clock, we could see some of those in Raleigh and Durham. And by 11 o'clock, they're pushing all the way south into the southern counties and then eventually moving on out. Saturday, we have a smaller chance for these storms. It's mostly going to be in the western part of the viewing area. There's Saturday at 8 p.m., 9 p.m., 10 p.m. So once again, it's going to be fairly late. I wouldn't be surprised if tomorrow's models are picking up on a little bit more activity. That particular run of the computer model that just came in is a little bit lighter on coverage than what we've seen the last day or so. Sunday, looking at a 40% chance and during the day and a 70% chance in the evening. Monday and Tuesday, we're going to have a stalled front over us, and it could bring us some rain even first thing in the morning for the first day of school. So we'll talk more about that and another look at the tropics coming up.
Oh, no. At least it won't be super hot, though, on Monday for back to school. Elizabeth, thanks. Several pizzas thrown out after a Wake County restaurant inspection. We'll tell you which downtown Raleigh restaurant we're talking about and why in this week's restaurant ratings. That's coming up at 5.
And WREL is your back-to-school headquarters, and our coverage continues today at 4. Matt Talhelm speaks with school nurses about staffing and how they're prepared to care for your kids.
A film studio in Jacksonville, Florida that made films for black audiences 100 years ago is reopening to the public.
Richard Norman, who was white, is credited with some of the nation's earliest films starring black actors in positive, non-stereotypical roles. Maya Eaglin shares the history of Norman Studios.
It's hard to imagine now, but this cluster of buildings in North Florida once housed a bustling film studio that was breaking color barriers over 100 years ago.
His characters were all black, but they were the bad guys and the good guys. They were the thieves, but they were also the heroes.
Founded by Richard Norman, the Norman Film Studios produced films that featured all black casts made in the Deep South during the height of the Jim Crow era. In fact, the movie showcased African Americans in roles on screen that they would have been prohibited from holding off screen. One example is groundbreaking aviator Bessie Coleman.
Bessie Coleman, who was the first African-American pilot, actually wrote to Richard Norman saying, make a movie about me. Unfortunately, she was killed shortly before they were going to make this movie. She was killed in an accident in Jacksonville, but he still made a movie then about an aviator coming back from World War I.
That film, The Flying Ace, came out in 1926. 15 years before the Air Force allowed black pilots, and 47 years before the first female fighter pilot. And the danger wasn't just on the screen.
Jacksonville at that time was a Klan stronghold. And so what he was doing, he wasn't just making films with black casts. The casts were living here on the property with his family. That just didn't happen back then.
Despite these risks, these films were well received around the country by both black and white audiences.
One of the interesting things about Mr. Norman's films is that they were made for black audiences, and that's who he assumed would see them. But he was surprised when white audiences also came and watched and loved it.
But by the 1930s, much of the film's production was being shipped to California, and the studio was largely forgotten. It eventually fell into ruin after being a dance studio and then an office complex. However, 30 years ago, residents started to learn about the building's history, and after years of hard work and major renovations, the space is now a museum where people can get up close and personal with the objects and stories that were featured in these once-forgotten films.
Wow, that was Maya Eaglin reporting. Norman Studios produced at least 9 films, and experts think there may be more, but they've been lost over time. Flying Ace, however, was just restored and is now in the Library of Congress. Wow.
Wonderful to see that piece of history preserved. We're in for excessive heat over the next 3 days. Elizabeth will have the weather information you need to know to help you stay safe.
Plus, tonight's Football Friday will also be impacted by the heat. The policies in place to make sure players are safe.
And here's a look at the winning lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Several disturbances will move into our area over the next few days.
This will bring a chance of storms this evening, tomorrow, and Sunday. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at how you can plan your weekend around those storms.
And we take a look at today's risk is mainly in the northern part of the viewing area, and Saturday's is from the Triangle area westward. So, first of all, these storms are not going to last all day because you can get the rest of the day in until sunset before you start to see the storms today. And Saturday, they're mainly going to be in the western part of the viewing area. So today, Durham County, Orange County, and all the counties bordering Virginia are under that level one risk. And of course, for tomorrow, from the Triangle area westward. So let's walk through it. This evening, things are looking pretty quiet until we get to around 7 or 8 o'clock near the Virginia line. You can see those storms. By 8 or 9 o'clock, they're as far south as Durham and Raleigh, affecting Roxboro and back toward Greensboro. And then if you take a look, really, from the I-95 corridor eastward, we won't see nearly as much rain, looking at Raleigh, back down towards Southern Fayetteville through about midnight or so. And then we get a break. Saturday is going to be hot today. We're looking at a heat index around 103. Tomorrow, that heat index up around 106. So just keep that in mind. At 5 o'clock, things are still fairly quiet. Once again, during the evening, the potential for a few scattered storms, especially from the Triangle area westward. Folks are trying to get out and deal with the heat this afternoon. Certainly, here's a look at Pinehurst. Plenty of folks out there at Pinehurst Resort and Country Club. And the Triangle, it's 87 with a dew point of 72. And it already feels like the 90s out there. It'll be in the mid-90s this afternoon, climbing to around 96, and that heat index will be in the triple digits all the way until around 8 p.m. before we start to see temperatures cooling off a little bit. If you're headed out and about, lots of events happening this weekend. Saturday, tomorrow at Dick's Park, it's going to be hot, middle of the afternoon, 96 degrees. The intertribal powwow there. Just make sure you're finding some shade. There's plenty of shade there at Dick's Park. And then later in the evening, we'll see the chance for some thunderstorms. NC State Packapalooza, again, looking at a few isolated storms, 6 to 10 p.m. Temperatures are going to be hot in the mid-90s, feeling, again, more like 105 to 106. It starts to feel a little bit better on Sunday if you're headed to Lazy Days. High temperatures in the upper 80s, but we do have a chance for storms in the afternoon and evening. Monday, for the first day of school, looks even wetter. I'll show you that coming up. All right, thanks, Elizabeth. And that dangerous heat she was talking about today is raising concerns about health risks for teens that are playing in tonight's football games. WRAL's Kelsey Coffey tells us that many schools are changing kickoff times to try and avoid the heat.
The extreme heat we feel today has the attention of more than 50 high schools across North Carolina. Schools like Broughton High are pushing their kickoff times a little bit later by about 30 minutes in order to beat that heat. And some schools even pushed their games back to yesterday, like Bunn and Northampton County. The North Carolina High School Athletic Association has precautions in place to protect these student athletes, like mandatory breaks during practice. Dr. Daniel Park with UNC's Pediatric Emergency Department says they're seeing 3 times the number of young patients in the ER for heat-related illness this year.
No one is really being spared from this, and otherwise healthy young adults are coming into the emergency department with heat-related illness.
Dr. Park says on days like this when we're experiencing extreme heat, it's important to understand the signs of heat-related illness like increased heart rate, nausea, and vomiting. He says if you're experiencing those symptoms even after you move to a cool place, that's the time to call 911. Kelsey Coffey, WRAL News in Raleigh.
And don't miss Football Friday tonight. It's the longest-running high school football highlight show in the state, covering all 20 high school football games. Tune in for all the action. That's tonight at 11:35 on WRAL.
Breaking news here in the WRAL Live Center. Only on WRAL, new details about the investigation into Alicia Watts' murder. Moore County Sheriff Ronnie Watts shared this with WRL's Chelsea Donovan just a few minutes ago. We got this into the newsroom. Moore County officials say they had been to that area of Montgomery County several times before a cadaver dog discovered Watts' body. They say that digital evidence led them to a heavily wooded area where a cadaver dog found her body. And the sheriff believes that Watts' boyfriend, James Dunmore, who was charged with her murder, knew that road because it's a back road from his home in Charlotte to her house in Foxfire. Watts' body now is at the medical examiner's office in Raleigh. Sheriff Watts would not say how she died. Of course, Chelsea is working on this story. Look for updates beginning today at 4 here on WRAL News.
Brian, thank you. We're waiting for police to release the name of the man who was struck and killed on U.S. 70. It happened on Johnston County near Wilson's Mills around 1:30 this morning. Brittany says Highway Patrol is asking for the public's help finding the vehicle involved.
Troopers tell me they're working to figure out exactly what kind of car ran over this man and killed him. I want to show you the video from the WRL Breaking News Tracker of the scene near the U.S. 70 Business 70 interchange. The westbound lanes of Highway 70 were shut down for a couple of hours while investigators collected evidence overnight. The man was found near a work van where troopers found several open beer cans inside it. I'm also working to learn the name of the man who died. Troopers know it's a long shot, but they say if you happen to be driving US 70 last night and saw anything in that area, you're asked to call the Highway Patrol. In Raleigh, Brittany's WRL News.
We now know the name of the person who was shot and killed along Ash Street in Durham. Durham police say the victim was 62-year-old Maverick Tatum. There was a car smashed into a utility pole, and the car appeared to have bullet holes in the windshield. This all happened yesterday evening around 5. Officers say the man was taken to the hospital where he died.
Our county-by-county coverage takes us to Harnett, Nash, and Wilson counties. First, nighttime drivers on I-95 in Harnett County need to be prepared for a short detour. Starting on Sunday night, the highway will be closed at exit 77 near Dunn from 11 p.m. to 5 a.m. each night for about 2 weeks. Drivers in both directions will need to exit, go over to Hodges Chapel Road, and then get back on the highway. This is happening so crews can demolish and remove the Hodges Chapel Road bridge over I-95. And Nash County Public Schools is looking to fill positions ahead of their first day of school on Monday. A job fair is happening now until 4 p.m. It's at the Nash Central High School in Rocky Mount. The district is looking to fill teaching, staff, and administration positions. Some positions will hire on spot and with sign-on bonuses. And Wilson Fire and Rescue Services recently received 2 new engines, and they're very appropriate for the home of the Whirligig Park. Check out the custom feature on Engine 1, a light made to warn motorists, but it also spins. The city says both engines were designed and built with a lot of input from the firefighters who now use them every day. You can keep an eye on those out on the roads.
And here in the WRIO Live Center, the last of the 19 defendants charged in the Georgia 2020 election interference case has surrendered to officials there in Fulton County. Illinois-based pastor Stephen Lee turned himself in at the Fulton County Jail this morning. Prosecutors say that Lee was part of a plot to pressure a worker into admitting falsely that she committed massive fraud against President Trump in the 2020 election. Meanwhile, Republican rival Nikki Haley is talking about President Trump's mugshot, calling it, quote, disgraceful. In an interview on the Fox News Channel this morning, she said that people should not assume that Trump will be convicted or that he'll be the GOP nominee.
Thanks for the update, Brian. Walmart and Amazon are teaming up for faster deliveries. The new U.S. city that will have packages delivered by drone.
And mortgages often make up the biggest chunk of people's budget. How today's payments compare over the last 4 decades and what it means for home affordability.
People who live in Vance County can get their personal documents shredded for free today. The Better Business Bureau is hosting the event. You have about 20 minutes left. It will be in the parking lot next to the Henderson Fire Department on Dabney Drive. Vance County Schools will also be there to collect school supplies for kids.
And Walmart is teaming up with Wing, the drone delivery service owned by Amazon, to expand service in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Wing will deliver orders from a Walmart supercenter in the region and expand to a second store by the end of the year. It'll make deliveries to homes within 6 miles of the stores and says they'll arrive in under 30 minutes. Walmart currently offers drone deliveries in 7 states. Housing affordability is at its worst since the mid-1980s, and analysts don't see the prices improving anytime soon. Monthly payments on median-priced homes, including interest, are just over $2,400 for those making a 20% down payment. That's up about $1,200 in 2 years. Anything above 30% of a person's household income for house payments is considered unaffordable.
A college campus in Michigan now boasts a very unique vending machine designed to make students feel supported.
This is just one way to say to a student, you matter.
Coming up, the inspiration behind the beauty genie after the break.
Plus, when it comes to your children, pediatricians say trust your gut. Why caregivers should not delay testing children for neurodivergence. With a new school year starting on Monday, many parents have questions about whether their child is neurodivergent. That can include ADHD, autism, anxiety, and learning difficulties. We spoke with a child psychologist who says parents should trust their instincts and ask for help when you feel your child is struggling. You can find the signs to look for on our website, WREL.com.
Going away to college can mean saying goodbye to the comforts of home. For some students, that means finding a new hairstylist and the products that you're used to. So enter the beauty genie. Amaya Kuznicki takes us to a college in Michigan where a vending machine is increasing access to reliable products for students of all races.
In vending machines, you're used to seeing chips and candy, but this one dispenses hair products.
Please present your card and your mobile phone.
The Beauty Genie made its way to the University of Olivet in August. It's the first of its kind in the rural town college campus.
Having this here makes people feel comfortable.
All of the hair care products that you would need are just a tap away.
Hair wraps, bonnets, do-rags.
Bria Kelly is the brand's ambassador and also a senior at the university. She says with the school being predominantly white, there aren't beauty supply stores nearby.
Before I had this, whenever I went home, I was stocking up on hair products.
Which isn't always ideal, especially when students are without transportation.
It's like a weight has been lifted off of our shoulders for people that can't drive. It's like we finally have something nearby.
The machine is a compact beauty store.
It's important to have a machine like the Beauty Genie to remind students that we see them, we hear them, and we support them.
Associate Dean of Student Life Joshua Gillespie hopes the machine helps students feel at home.
Hair matters. Mm-hmm. And so this is just one way to say to a student, you matter.
I just say you definitely have to go try it out. And it doesn't hurt to try a different product on your hair, see what might happen.
I've always been a part of things that belong to other people where this is me.
Kelly says this is just the start. She hopes to expand to other college campuses in the future.
And that was Amaya Kuznicki reporting. Aside from the beauty products, the vending machines display short videos from professional hairstylists discussing topics on maintaining hair, the best products that you can use for each kind of hair type. The owner of the Beauty Genie hopes to expand this to colleges on the East Coast and in the South, and especially in areas that may not carry that line of diverse products for different hair.
Yeah, no, it's really awesome. All right, we got to get over to meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner because we're tracking some really hot temperatures for today. It's warm right now. It's only going to get warmer, Elizabeth.
Yeah, that's right. Looking at mid-90s for our afternoon high, probably going to climb on up into the low 100s just in the next couple of hours. Taking a look at Goldsboro, we're looking at mostly sunny skies, lots of sunshine in Apex, just a few clouds here in Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant, and of course our Fayetteville newsroom sitting there, and it's pretty hot there right now, certainly. We take a look at the latest advisory from Tropical Storm Franklin. The winds are down about 10 miles per hour from our previous advisory. It was at 60 miles per hour, so it has weakened slightly to 50, but it's about to move into an area where it's more conducive to development. It looks like it will reach hurricane strength by Sunday morning and be a Category 2 storm sitting hundreds of miles off the coast of North Carolina by early next week. That is likely to cause some rip current danger, some heavy surf, which will make the surfers happy, but we may end up with a bit of erosion, especially along the Outer Banks, and possibly some overwash on Highway 12. It typically doesn't take a whole lot to see that happen. happen. So that's what we're looking at with this storm. Today, we have high rip current danger along the northern Outer Banks. And from Ocracoke southward down through Wilmington, it's moderate. But it is likely to go up by Sunday and into the early part of next week. If you're headed to the beaches tomorrow, it's going to be pretty toasty. Wrightsville at 91, 89 Nags Head, 87 at Emerald Isle. But our chances for thunderstorms are just your typical, you know, afternoon and evening type event. We're going to see a cold front sliding a little closer to the coast on Sunday, giving it about a 40 to 50% chance of storms and temperatures in the mid to upper 80s. We take a look out at what's happening here in the Caribbean. This is an area that we're going to watch very closely over the next several days. For 3 or 4 days, some of the computer models have shown the development of a system moving toward Florida and then potentially off the coast of North Carolina by the middle of next week. The Hurricane Center is giving that a 70% chance of happening. And we can take a look at one of the computer models. This one is more of a worst case scenario. Right there is Franklin. And we start to see the system developing early next week, moving across the Gulf of Mexico. Now, the Gulf of Mexico is very warm right now. The ocean temperature is 87, 88 degrees. So there's going to be a lot of energy for this storm to work with, potentially crossing Florida and kind of hugging the coast of the Carolinas and then moving on out into the Atlantic during the day on Thursday. The computer models are not in great agreement about that, so just keep checking back and we'll keep our eye on that one, especially since it may have some more significant impacts here. 50% chance that this one out in the Atlantic develops, and the one to the north of it, just a 20% chance. If you're headed to the mountains over the weekend, that's usually a place to stay cool, but looking at around 90 in Asheville for tomorrow, cooler in Boone, but the 82 is still warm for Boone. As you get up into some of the higher elevations, temperatures should be in the 60s to low 70s, and then on Sunday, same story, maybe a little bit cooler as there's a better chance for some thunderstorms on Sunday. Around here, we're looking at a couple of hot days. The heat index tomorrow may be even higher than today, so it could be up around 103 to 105. And then turning cooler for next week as a front stalls out, we'll have a better chance for rain. Back to school on Monday, at least temperatures will feel pleasant in the 80s, and we have 80s in the forecast for much of next week. We'll be right back with your top stories.
As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. New in the last 30 minutes, Moore County officials say they've been to the area of Montgomery County several times before a cadaver dog discovered Alicia Watts' body. She had been missing for more than a month. The Moore County Sheriff says he believes Watts' boyfriend, James Dunmore, who is charged in her murder, knew the road because it's a back road from Charlotte to her house in Foxfire. And new COVID-19 vaccines could be available in mid-September. The FDA is expected to give its nod to the updated vaccines in a few weeks. This update comes as health officials warn that the new BA286 variant requires intense monitoring and vigilance that many of its predecessors did not. It has even greater potential to escape antibodies. Today, 55 of the first Black Marines in U.S. history received the Congressional Gold Medal for their service. The Montford Point Marines integrated the Marine Corps at their base in Jacksonville, North Carolina in the 1940s. Experts say about 3,000 family members and former Marines have claimed their gold medals for service. More than 16,000 still need to be awarded. Dick's Park is hosting a big event on Saturday. It's hosting the Intertribal Powwow from 11:30 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. There will be competitions, dancing, music, and vendors showcasing the incredible legacy of and culture of indigenous communities living here in North Carolina. It is open to the public. Dogs respond more to the same sort of speaking style used with small children, and there's research to back it up. A team in Hungary made the discovery by conducting a series of brain scans on trained dogs. Their study also found man's best friend seems to prefer the voices of women and that dog brains respond more to speech directed to them. And speaking of dogs, our pet of the day is the Disneyland of dogs, the happiest dog on earth. This is 4-year-old Crackle from the SPCA of Wake County. He loves everything and everyone. Crackle loves to play and would do best in a home with a fenced-in yard. He knows to sit, lie down, and is learning to roll over. He's a fast learner who can pick up just about any new trick. His adoption fee is $95, but take 50% off of that for Clear the Shelters through the end of August. You can learn more at spcawake.org.
When you look at Crackle, you just want to smile.
Smile.
I know. Smile's so contagious.
NBC News Daily is next on WREL. Your next local news update coming up in 30 minutes.
And you can get breaking news updates anytime, anywhere on the WREL News app. Have a great day and a great weekend.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.